الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
changing.
Yeah.
I changed the time, but running late and very close. I
know.
I was very sure.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, Dars e Quran will be imparted in the English language. All brothers are requested to participate. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wahda. Wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِّمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي فَإِنَّهُ سَيَهْدِينِ وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً فِي عَقِبِهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ بل متعت هؤلاء وآباءهم حتى جاءهم الحق ورسول مبين ولما جاءهم الحق قالوا هذا سحر وإنا به كافرون صدق الله مولانا العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته In the previous verses of Surah Az-Zukhruf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a mention with regards to one answer which was given to all those prophets before our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they would invite them towards believing in Tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that was that inna wajadna aba'ana ala ummatin. We found our forefathers on a certain ideology, a certain way of thinking, a certain belief. In other words, because our forefathers used to be mushrikeen, they used to be polytheists, they used to ascribe partners with Allah Ta'ala, then we also will remain on their way and their path. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced the same challenge when he was sent with prophethood to the people of Makkatul Mukarramah. They also said that inna wajadna aba'ana, that we found our forefathers, that they were idol worshippers. So when they were idol worshippers, then we are not willing to leave that method and that way of life of our forefathers. And upon this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told to say to them that أَوَلَوْ جِئْتُكُمْ بِأَهْدَى مِمَّا وَجَدْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَكُمْ, that even if you were to carry out a comparison study between the two, that what is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us to believe in? And what were our forefathers on? If you were to use your brain, if you were to use the intellect, and if you were to come to this conclusion that what this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is telling us is far more better than what our forefathers were on, Will you still not believe in him? Will you still not follow in his footsteps? Will you still not accept his teachings? Now, because they had no answer to this, they simply said, "Inna bima ursiltum bihi kafirun," that we reject whatever you have been sent with. And under the commentary of these ayat, we had discussed the importance of taqleed, the importance of following. Because from these verses, someone could get the wrong message that you are not supposed to follow in the footsteps of your forefathers. And those who claim to be whether Ahlul Qur'an, the people of the Qur'an, or Ahlul Hadith, the people of Hadith, then this is what they say, that we will understand the deen directly from the Qur'an or directly from the Hadith. So we will not follow in the footsteps and we will not take the teachings of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, or Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, or Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, or Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, which are the four schools of thought. And it is necessary for us to follow one of these four schools of thought. And even those who claim that we do not follow any of the four schools of thought because we do not want to follow someone from the past, we want to follow the Quran and the Hadith directly. Even they do not directly take every teaching from the Quran and Hadith. If you will ask them that this particular thing that you are doing, why are you doing it? So they will say that we learned this from our teacher, or we learned this from our imam. So they are following their imam, they are following their teacher. To practice upon the Quran and Hadith, you will have to follow somebody. So anyway, the mushrikeen of Makkatul Mukarrama, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, informed them that they should not be following in the footsteps of their forefathers who are on the wrong path. The point which was mentioned last week was that when it comes to taqleed and following somebody, there will be one of two types of people. One category are those people who are on the wrong path. So those who are on the wrong path, you are not allowed to follow them. That's where taqleed is not permissible. So these verses are regarding this, that you are following your forefathers who are mushrik, who used to ascribe partners with Allah Ta'ala. So it is not permissible to follow in their footsteps. And you have a second type of taqleed where you are following those people who are on the right path. Allah Ta'ala has bestowed them with the correct knowledge of deen. They have taqwa and piety in their lives. So these are the individuals who we need to follow. This is why whenever Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala sent down a divine book, with the divine book, Allah Ta'ala always sent down a human being also, who we call the prophets. So there was always, and there always has been, and this will continue until the day of Qiyamah, that with Kitabullah, you will also have Rijalullah. Kitabullah is the book of Allah, Rijalullah are the men of Allah. So you can't just access the deen through Kitabullah. With Kitabullah, you also need Rijalullah. When you will have Kitabullah and Rijalullah, when you will connect yourself to the Quran also, and somebody who understands the Quran, somebody who has the Quran in his life, not only has he gained the knowledge of the Quran, he also practices upon the Quran. Then this deen will also come into your life. So with theory, you also need practical. Just as in driving, a person cannot just study the theory and pass his theory test and think to himself that I've studied the entire book, I've passed my theory exam also, so tomorrow if I sit in the car, I'll know how to drive now. If he tries that, he'll have an accident. With theory, he'll need practical also. So he'll take many lessons where the instructor will teach him how to drive. And after spending a large amount of time in the company of the driving instructor, a time will come when he will know how to drive by himself. So when it comes to the deen also, you can't just pick up the books and start studying yourself and think the deen will come into your life. That's just the theory part. With theory, you will need practical. You will have to spend a good amount of time, quality time in the company of somebody who has brought this deen into his life. He will be your instructor and he will guide you. So they were supposed to take Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as their guide. But they said that no, we want to follow in the footsteps of our forefathers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further now mentions with regards to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. And why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam's mention here? What's the connection? The connection is that Allah Ta'ala is saying to them that if you claim that we want to follow in the footsteps of our forefathers, we've already explained to you that you can't. You have to follow what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching you. But if you claim that we want to follow in the footsteps of your forefathers, then from all of your forefathers, from all of them, which one is there who in your eyes is the most honorable? Who you look up to? Who you regard as the most noble? Now the answer will be that the most noble from all of our forefathers is none other than Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ. And remember the time when Ibrahim alayhi salam said to his father, wa qawmihi, and his people, his nation, innani bara'um mimma ta'budun. I absolve myself. I am free of the gods that you people worship. Illa alladhi fatarani, except for the one who has created me. Fa innahu sayahdeen, undoubtedly he shall guide me. Allah Ta'ala mentions Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, number one, he was the most noble of all of their ancestors. And number two, they also used to pride themselves that we are the offspring of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Our lineage goes back to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam was revered by the Christians also, by the Jews also, by the Mushrikeen also, and by the Muslims also. Allah Ta'ala had given him a very high and lofty rank and status. Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, from amongst his du'as, one du'a which he made was, وَجْعَلِّي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. That, O Allah, make my mention a mention of nobility even in the later generations. So not only was Ibrahim alayhi salam revered during his time, even today, the greatest ummah, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we also hold Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam in a very high regard. And we make a good mention of him. We mention him with respect and with honor. Just take the salah for example, that in every salah, we read the Durood Sharif. And which Durood do we read? We read Durood Ibrahim. So where we say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. And Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Four times in every salah do we take the name of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So just imagine how many thousands or millions of time Ibrahim alayhi salam's name is being mentioned in salah on a daily basis. This is just one way in which we are remembering Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then comes the time of Hajj. So throughout the month of Dhul Hijjah, we are remembering Ibrahim alayhi salam. The entire Qurbanian sacrifice, the entire rituals of Hajj, all those rituals, they all remind us of Ibrahim alayhi salam. We bring those practices into Hajj. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam has a very high rank and a very high status. The Jews used to claim he's our prophet. He was a Jew. The Christians used to say that he was a Christian. And the mushrikeen used to say that no, he was a mushrik. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came down in the form of Quran and said that مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًا. Ibrahim alayhi salam was not a Jew. وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًا. He was not a Christian. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. He wasn't even from the mushrikeen. All three have been negated, which leaves one. وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. He was Hanif and he was Muslim. Hanif means that individual who disattaches himself from all the false ideologies. Batil adiyan se hatkar hakki taraf ma'il hone wala. This is the definition in Urdu. That he disattaches himself from all the false ideologies and he is completely inclined towards that which is the haq and which is the truth. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had completely disattached himself from the Jewish beliefs, from the Christian beliefs, and from the beliefs of the mushrikeen. And he was inclined completely towards that which is the haq and the truth, which is the belief of Islam. This is why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him that aslim, submit yourself, become a Muslim, then he said, aslamtu li rabbil alameen. I have submitted myself to Rabbul Alameen. I have become a Muslim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you really want to follow in the footsteps of your forefathers, then why don't you follow in the footsteps of that forefather of yours, who even you regard as the greatest of your forefathers. And even you pride yourselves that we are the offspring of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Why don't you follow in that forefather? And what were his qualities? What do you need to follow? So number one, the first thing is that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he himself believed in Tawheed. He himself believed in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he taught his people also that this stars that you believe in, the sun that you believe in, the moon that you believe in, they are not the Rabb, they are not the creator. That's not who you are supposed to worship. They are not your gods. Ra'a kawkaba, when he saw the star, what did Ibrahim alayhi salam say? That hada rabbi, this is my Rabb. It's not because he was in doubt that this is my Rabb. He only did this to try and show the people that this is not your Rabb. So he looked at the star and he said, this is my Rabb. The people were there. This was one form of da'wah to show them that the star is not your Rabb. And then when this star, after some time, when it vanished, then Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said that la uhibbul afinin. I don't like that to be my deity or Rabb, which vanishes after some time. You know, what sort of a Rabb is this that it comes at night and then in the morning is gone? Then falamma ra'al qamara bazighan qala hadha rabbi. When he saw the moon, then he said, this is my Rabb. But فَلَمَّا أَفَلَ قَالَ لَإِنْ لَمْ يَهْدِنِي رَبِّي لَأَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الضَّالِّينَ. When this moon in the morning was no longer present, he said, I do not like that thing which goes away, which vanishes. And فَلَمَّا رَأَ الشَّمْسَ بَازِغَةً قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي هَذَا أَكْبَرُ. When he saw the sun, he said, this is my Rabb, this is the biggest. It's bigger than the star also, it's bigger than the moon also. But even the sun, فَلَمَّا أَفَلَتْ, at Maghrib time, he has to set. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. On that occasion, he said that, O my nation, I am free from that which you ascribe. The shirk that you are committing, I am free from that. And then he announced to the people that, إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was one who was completely firm on tawheed and believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was completely free from shirk. So Allah ta'ala is saying that if you really want to follow in the footsteps of your forefathers, then why don't you follow in the footsteps of this forefather, Ibrahim alayhi salam? And number two, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, his second quality was that he himself did not follow blindly in the footsteps of his forefathers. Because when he came into the world, the entire community, including his own father, they were drowned in this belief of shirk. His own father was a mushrik. He would make idols, he would sell idols. Whose name was Azar. Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ Azar. Remember when Ibrahim alayhi salam said to his own father Azar, أَتَتَّخِذُ أَصْنَامًا آلِهَةً. Do you take these idols as your deity? إِنِّي أَرَاكَ وَقَوْمَكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. I see that you and your people, they are in a clear wrong path. They are astray. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, with much love, tried to explain to his father that what you are doing is wrong. Ya abati, lima ta'budu. O my beloved father, why do you worship? Ma la yasma'u, that thing which doesn't listen. Wala yubsiru, which cannot see. Wala yugni anka shay'a, which cannot benefit you in the slightest. Ya abati, O my beloved father, la ta'budi shaytan, don't worship shaytan. Inna shaytana kana lirrahmani asiya. Indeed, shaytan, he has disobeyed Rahman. You know, that Allah who is so merciful and who has given us everything, shaytan has disobeyed him. So why are you worshipping shaytan when you should be worshipping Allah? Ya abati, O my beloved father. Look, over and over again, the word he is using is Ya abati, O my beloved father. To that father who is a mushrik. إِنِّي أَخَافُ أَن يَمَسَّكَ عَذَابٌ مِّنَ الرَّحْمَنِ. I fear that a punishment will afflict you from Rahman. So over and over again, he tried to explain to his father also. And he also tried to explain to his nation that worshipping these idols is wrong. So he did not follow in the footsteps of his forefathers. He came with the message of Tawheed. And he told his people as well as his father that this is the wrong path and the correct path is that we believe in one Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the mushrikeen that if you really want to follow in the footsteps of your forefathers, then why don't you follow in the message with which Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam came with. So وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِّمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ. When Ibrahim alayhi salam said to his father and to his people, I absolve myself of the gods that you people worship. One point which the commentators of the Quran have mentioned under this ayah is that if a person is living in a certain community or amongst your family, amongst your friends, they are doing something or they believe in something which is completely wrong. Then at that time, to simply ensure that my action is correct or my belief is correct, this is not sufficient. it becomes necessary for you to announce to them that I am free from what you are doing, or I am free from the way you think. You have to inform them that me and you, we are not on the straight, we are not on the same path. I do not confirm what you are doing. Otherwise, if you remain silent, there is this possibility that people will think that he is also with them. So you have to announce it, and you have to verbally inform that I am not in conformity with what you are doing or with what you think. So this is something which is necessary to keep in mind, which has been mentioned under the commentary of this ayah. إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي فَإِنَّهُ سَيَهْدِينَ. So Ibrahim alayhi salam said that I am free of what you people worship, إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي, except for the one who has created me. Meaning except Allah Ta'ala. Why does he need to mention this? Because even the mushrikeen, they also believe in Allah. So they believe in Allah as their main God, and thereafter they believe that Allah Ta'ala has many other partners who carry out different tasks. So there's a different God for rain. There's a different God who cures you when you fall ill. There's a different God who's in charge of food and drink. This is their belief. And our belief is there is only one Allah. And this one Allah is so great that He is able to do everything. So Ibrahim alayhi salam said that I am free from all those other gods that you believe in. Yes, there's one God that I do worship who you also believe in. And that is the one who created me. And that is Allah. The number one, He created me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who creates us, who creates everything. And فَإِنَّهُ سَيَهْدِينَ, after creating me, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who shall guide me. Allah Ta'ala is our guide. What does He guide us in? Number one, Allah Ta'ala is our guide in all of our worldly matters. In all our worldly matters. It's Allah Ta'ala who guides us. So in our worldly matters, whatever we do, and whenever we succeed in something, we should tell ourselves that this is not because of my own intelligence or because of how clever I am. It's because Allah Ta'ala has guided me. This is the difference between a servant and somebody who becomes proud and arrogant. A servant never becomes proud and arrogant. So a servant, a mu'min and a believer who is a servant of Allah Ta'ala, whenever he gains any success in his worldly life, whether it's small or whether it's great, straight away he will tell himself that this is because Allah guided me. So in all our worldly matters, who guides us? Allah Ta'ala guides us. In Surah Al-Fatiha, we say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, that, O Allah, guide us to the straight path. So Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi mentions that in this dua, we are not only asking Allah Ta'ala to guide us in our deeni matters. We are also saying to Allah that, O Allah, guide me in all my worldly matters also. So in this dua, you are asking Allah Ta'ala for guidance in worldly matters as well as deeni matters. So even here in Sayahdeen, number one is that He guides me in all my worldly matters. Number two, He guides me in all my religious matters. So it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guides us that what should we do as far as deen is concerned. And number three, sayahdeen also means that after guiding me to the deen, it's Allah ta'ala who keeps me steadfast on this deen. Otherwise, there are many who are on hidayah, who are on guidance for a certain period of time. But after that certain period of time, they go off track. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala has not kept them on hidayah and guidance. So sayahdeen also means that after putting me on hidayah and on the straight path, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who keeps me there. This is why Umm Salama radiallahu anha says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would be in my house, the dua which I would hear him make the most was, Allahumma ya muqallib al qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. That, O Allah, the turner of the hearts, the one who turns the hearts. Keep my heart steadfast on the deen. So Umm Salama radiallahu anha says that I asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I hear you make this dua excessively. What's the reason for this? So upon this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that the reason for this is that these hearts of ours, they are in between the fingers of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't have fingers, but this is to explain to us that when you have something in between two fingers, this means it's in your control. If we take the example of a penny coin, this penny coin, you can turn it so it's on heads, or you can turn it so it's on tails. It requires no effort. Within a moment, you can turn it. So in the same way, Allah Ta'ala, our heart is in between Allah Ta'ala's fingers. At this moment in time, we are on hidayah and guidance. But it only takes that one turn, and we could land ourselves in kufr and disbelief. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to teach us the importance of remaining concerned with regards to the fact that we remain on hidayah, he would make this dua excessively, that Ya muqallib al qulub, O the one who turns the hearts, thabbit qalbi ala deenik, keep my heart steadfast upon your deen. So this is the third meaning of sayahdeen. And a fourth meaning of sayahdeen is that, O Allah, O sayahdeen, that he will guide me, means that Allah Ta'ala will then show me the different ways in which I can increase in the ma'rifah and the recognition of Allah Ta'ala. So ma'rifah and recognition of Allah, this is also something which each person will possess on a different level. Some people's recognition of Allah Ta'ala is far more greater than other people. So Allah Ta'ala is the one who will show me the ways in which I can increase the ma'rifah and the recognition of Allah Ta'ala. So sayahdeen. And thereafter, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam further says that وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً فِي أَقِبِهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Sorry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now mentions regarding Ibrahim alayhi salam that وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً. So he, Ibrahim alayhi salam, left it, meaning the message of Tawheed, كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً, as a lasting word, fi aqibihi, among his progeny, la'allahum yarji'un, so that they may abstain from shirk and return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This means that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he exerted so much effort. He made so many sacrifices. First of all, what did he make these sacrifices for? He made so many sacrifices and exerted so much effort to ensure that this tawheed not only remains in his life, but it is something which goes into his children's life, in the progenies after, generations after, and continues until the day of Qiyamah. Until the day of Qiyamah. For this, how many sacrifices did he make? That when he stood up and told his people that you have to believe in one Allah, then first of all, for 7 years, he was imprisoned. For 7 years. And during these 7 years, he had to remain in prison and he was tortured and punished severely. But he still didn't give up. Thereafter, after he left prison, the people thought that instead of keeping him in his prison, he's not going to stop from calling people towards Tawheed, and he's not going to refrain from remaining on Tawheed himself also. So they thought that we should throw him into a fire and we should kill him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that when they threw him in the fire, then we said, Ya Nar, O fire, kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Become a means of coolness and peace for Ibrahim alayhi salam. So even there, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, this was another test that he was thrown in the fire. And after this, he had to leave his family and his hometown. So sacrifice upon sacrifice. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that he passed in all of these tests that he was put through. And finally, إِنِّي جَائِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. When he passed all these tests and he made all these sacrifices, we made him the imam of the people. This was the prize. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Ibrahim alayhi salam the imam of the people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this is your forefather who made all these sacrifices for Tawheed. And you want to follow in the footsteps of your forefathers and remain on shirk. The two just don't go hand in hand. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, his efforts to ensure that this Tawheed remains in the people for generations to come until the day of Qiyamah. This effort of his was such that even when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came into this world, there were still people in Makkatul Mukarramah who would say that we are on the faith of Ibrahim alayhi salam. We are still on that path of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً فِي أَقِيبِهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And from here we also understand that when a father, he exerts effort in trying to bring deen into his children's lives and into those progenies thereafter, then even if there are certain generations where the deen leaves those particular families, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again will bring a time when deen will come into the generations of this person who had exerted this effort. So for this, the lesson that we learn is that as parents, it's extremely necessary that we don't only worry about our own deen, but we have to also ensure that deen enters into the lives of our children. Many a times when a person, he worries about his own deen, then he only is concerned about his own deen and he thinks to himself that as far as family is concerned, both wife as well as children, then that's up to them, that's their responsibility. Whereas it's necessary, it's something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually instructed us in the Quran. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O believers, Allah ta'ala instructs us, he addresses us believers, that O believers, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ, save yourselves, وَأَهْلِيكُمْ, and your family. So in أَهْلِيكُمْ, the Mufassirin mentioned that this refers to number one, your wife, number two, your children, and number three, in those days there used to be slaves and slave girls. So anybody who is under your authority, under your care, you have to save yourself and also your family. Ya ayyuha an-nas qu anfusakum wa ahlikum. From what? From nara, from the fire. Which fire? Waquduha an-nasu wal hijara. The flame of this fire, or the fuel of this fire is people and stones. An alayha malaikatun ghiladun shidadun. On top of this fire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made responsible such angels that the qualities of these angels are, number one, they are ghilaz. They are extremely powerful, very strong. Number two is shidad. They are very harsh. And number three, la ya'suna Allah ma amarahum. When Allah commands them to do something, they never disobey Allah. وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. They do as Allah has commanded them. So these angels, they are extremely powerful and extremely strong. Meaning that if you think to yourself that I am also very strong, so I'll be able to fight with them, I'll be able to defend myself if they try to punish me, Allah Ta'ala is saying, no, you will never be able to fight with these angels. They are far stronger than you can even imagine. So then a thought could have crossed a person's mind that they're very strong. But if I will scream, if I will ask for sympathy, if I will beg them, then surely after some time they will have some sort of mercy. After all, the angels. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that no, they're not only ghilaz, they're also shidad. They're very harsh in their character and in their nature. They'll never feel sorry for you. So if you think you're very strong, you're never going to be able to compete with them. And if you think that you can seek sympathy from them, then forget it. They're never going to feel sorry for you. Because that's how Allah ta'ala has made their nature. And let's say a person just cannot come to terms with this. How can it be that somebody is beating you, and you're crying that please stop. Surely a time has to come when they will stop. Allah ta'ala says, no, they have another quality also. لَا يَأْسُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ When Allah commands them to do something, then they never disobey Allah. So even if they wanted to stop, even if they felt sorry for you, their quality is that because Allah has told me to punish this person, I have to punish this person. So such angels will be given this responsibility to punish the people who will be sent into the fire of Jahannam. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that, O believers, you also save yourselves from this Jahannam and save your family members also. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that how do we save our family members from the fire of Jahannam? Because as far as we are concerned, we can practice upon the deen. But how are we going to bring our family members onto deen? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Umar radiallahu anhu that you will instruct them and encourage them to practice upon the deen also. Now how will you do this? So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions under the commentary of this ayah that allimuhum wa addibuhum. Number one, give them the correct education of deen. You have to ensure that your children and your wife, they acquire the correct ilm. And together with ilm, so ilm begins in the madrasa. So you will send them to madrasa. It's really the responsibility of the parent. But if the parent himself or herself cannot teach the child, then they will hand the child over to the madrasa. But after handing the child over to the madrasa, this does not mean that you have now fulfilled your responsibility. You will have to now continue monitoring that what is my son or my daughter learning? What ilm are they acquiring? And you have to ensure that your child acquires that amount of ilm which is necessary for him. So for example, if your son or daughter is not going to become a businessman, then they don't need to learn the masail regarding business. But wudu, salah, ghusl, what's halal, what's haram, all the basics, they have to know all of these things. Number one, this is ilm. And together with ilm, together with allimuhum, Ali radiallahu anhu further says, wa'addibuhum. Also, you have to do the tarbiyah. This is called ta'dib also, this is called tarbiyah also, which means to nurture the child, to nurture the mind of the child. Now what happens is, the majority of the parents, we will ensure that we send the child to a madrasa, for example, and he learns. So to some extent, he acquires the ilm and the knowledge. Even there, we lack. And we do not do it the way we are supposed to. We take them out of the madrasa very quickly. Many parents, we live in a time now where they send children to madrasa just as a tick box exercise. So they will look for that place where they can send their child for the least amount of time. Least amount of time. If they can get this responsibility over and done with online, then they'll opt for the online option. Then maybe half an hour a week, 1 hour a week maximum, my child will learn how to read Quran and that's sufficient. So look, the child is growing up and doesn't know anything to do with madrasa. The whole purpose of madrasa is that the child spends that quality time in an environment. Because there are so many benefits of this. So as far as ilm is concerned, the youth, this new generation, they are growing up, and as far as ilm is concerned, they don't have the ilm which is required of deen. And the second responsibility of the parents is tarbiyah, to nurture the mind. So nurturing the mind and tarbiyah is that you nurture the mind of the child in such a way that the child knows that I have to do this or I can't do this. This is impermissible for me. Now, what do we do? The maximum we will do is that we will tell the child, for example, it's salah time, let's go and perform salah. If you don't perform salah, this is the punishment. But this is not tarbiyah. Why? The child is only performing the salah for you. So when the child knows that my father is watching, so I have to perform salah, the child will perform salah. But the day the child knows that my father is not watching, he will not perform that salah. So you have not done the tarbiyah. So when will you know you've done tarbiyah? That even when you are not present, if the child is still practicing upon the deen, this means you have done tarbiyah. So this is nurturing the mind, and this requires time and effort. This doesn't happen overnight. You can't just read one page to the child and say that, look, this is something you have to do, this is something you have to refrain from. It's not going to work like that. It will take time. Wisdom is required. Love is required. Sometimes harshness will be required, and sometimes leniency will be required. But this will take a lot of effort, which the parents are not willing to do. So nobody said it was easy, but it's something which has to be done. So on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question the parents and ماذا علمته? How much deeni knowledge did you teach your child? And number two, ماذا أدبته? How did you nurture your child? So these are both responsibilities of the parents, where the majority of the parents are lacking in. And Imam Abdul Wahhab al-Sha'rani rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned that one of the most beneficial ingredients when it comes to tarbiyah from the many other things you have to do is the dua of the parent for the child. That if a parent was to make dua for the child, that, oh Allah, bring the deen into my child's life, this is extremely beneficial. But again, you will see that many parents, they will try to do many other things, but when it comes to making dua for the child, they don't make dua for the child. Every parent is judge and jury for himself and for herself. That daily, if you perform 5 times salah, after those 5 salah, how many times do you make dua for your children? So you will find many parents who will say that weeks and months go by and we haven't made dua for our children. Whereas we find that the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, they made dua for their children, and the Sharia has also taught us that we make dua for our children even before the children come into the picture, even before we know we're going to have children. Just a few weeks ago, I mentioned the hadith reported by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has taught us that when a man and woman have a relationship, the husband and wife, then before having the relationship, they should read this dua, Bismillah, in the name of Allah. Allahumma jannibna shaytan, O Allah, protect us from shaytan. Wa jannibi shaytan ma razaqtana, and protect from shaytan that which you are going to give us. Meaning that child who could potentially be born as a result of this relationship. Look, you don't even know if a child is going to come into this world yet, but you're making dua. So how important is this, that you are making dua for a potential child who could come into this world? And it doesn't even end here. After this, those who know the du'as, if you look in the books of du'as and the books of ahadith, then you will know, and many people may not even know this, that when a person reaches his climax, even at that time, when a person is completely neglectful of everything, this is the peak of joy that a man, a woman can reach. But even at that time, because you are now in a state of janabat, you are not allowed to read any dua with your tongue. But in your mind, there is a dua that you have been taught. That in your mind, you have to say, Allahumma la taj'al li shaytani fima razaqtani nasiba. That, oh Allah, do not keep any share for shaytan in that which you give me. Meaning that child that you give me. Again, this dua is being made for maybe a child will be born. You don't even know at this moment if a child is going to be born or not. And thereafter, the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, when they would make dua for a child, they would say, Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba. Oh my Rabb, grant me a tayyib and a pure child. So they wouldn't only say, oh Allah, give me children, because just having children is not going to be a ni'mah and a gift. No, Allah, give me pure children. And after the child would be born, they would say, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun. That, oh our Rabb, grant us from our wives and from our children the coolness of the eyes. What's the coolness of the eyes? When a person cries, if he cries out of grief and sadness, then his tears will be warm. And if he cries out of happiness, there's something that you cry out of happiness, which we call the tears of joy. So if you cry out of happiness, your tears will be cool. It's not a science lesson, but this is the reality. If you are crying out of grief, your tears will be warm. And if you are crying out of happiness, your tears will be cool. So Allah Ta'ala says, look at the dua He has taught us. This is a dua of the Ibadur Rahman in Surah Al-Furqan, 19th juz. Rabbana hablana. What do the Ibadur Rahman say? Oh, our Rabb, grant us from our wives and our children qurrata a'yun, the coolness of the eyes. Meaning that when we see them doing things in life, we become so happy and so elated that we shed tears of joy. This becomes the coolness of our eyes. And when will a person on deen feel so high, when he so happy, when will he feel so elated? When he will see that my wife, she is practicing upon the deen. My children, they are practicing upon the deen. When he walks into the house and he sees that my wife is in sajda, my children are reading Quran. Just imagine at that time, this person who has a concern for akhirah and the hereafter, how happy he will feel. So this scene will make tears fall from his eyes. But they will not be tears of grief. They will be tears of joy. So this will be the coolness of the eyes for this person. وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. So these are the du'as which the pious used to make. At every stage, from the moment they would be in relationship with their wife, all the way till after having children, they would continue making du'a for their children. Why? Because the du'a of the parent for the child is that du'a which is definitely accepted. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, ثَلَاثُ دَعَوَاد مُسْتَجَابَاد لَا شَكَّ فِيهِنَّ. That there are three such du'as which are definitely accepted. There is no doubt in their acceptance. And from amongst them, one is da'watul walid li waladihi. When the father makes du'a for the child. And the mother's status is even higher than the status of the father. So if the father's du'a is accepted, then the mother's du'a will definitely be accepted. So parents should definitely make du'a for their children. And parents, they should have this concern that how can I bring this deen into my child? Now with love, with wisdom, with care, you have to nurture the child from a young age. You can't say that, oh, he's just a young child. Hazrat Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimahullahu ta'ala, one of the greatest ulama and the scholars that this world has seen, both the Arab world as well as the non-Arab world, they both looked up to him and they all accepted him as a great alim and a great authority. He himself mentions that when I was a young boy, we used to have a slave girl or a servant in the house, like they have in India, the servants. So someone who would work in the house. He says, as a child, sometimes I would scold this servant. So as soon as my mother would see that my son has scolded the servant, my mother would call me. And she would say that, do you speak to me like this? So I would say, no, I don't speak to you like this. Do you speak to your father like this? He didn't have a father. He was an orphan. She was a single mother. Then she would say that, when you don't speak to the elders of the family like this, why are you speaking like this to this servant of ours? We do not speak like this to any person. She's a human being. And then he says that she would say to me, that go to her and ask for forgiveness. Look, from a young age, she had this concern. This is how she nurtured him. And thereafter, she sent him to a Darul Ulum to become an alim. So why is becoming an alim? Allah Ta'ala inspired him because Allah Ta'ala wanted to take great work from him. his work is on such a level that people throughout the entire world have benefited from his works. And they continue to do so till today. So because Allah Ta'ala wanted to take this great work from him, Allah Ta'ala inspired him that together with your Alimiyya studies, you should also study the English language. He was in India, so English was not something common. So he began to study English on the side. His mother found out about this. So she wrote a letter to him. And she said that, "O Abul Hasan, my desire was that I had 100 sons. And thereafter I made sure that all 100 of them dedicate themselves to the services of deen. But Allah Ta'ala only blessed me with one son. And now I have come to know that you are studying English. So I am worried that you may study English and you may go away from this path which I have put you on. I want you to exert such effort and become such an alim that you do the work which 100 ulama do." So look at the concern this mother must have had for her son and what du'as she must have made. He became such an alim and such a scholar that not only did he do the work that 100 ulama do, he has done the work which thousands of ulamas are not able to do. And his rank and his status was so high that during his own lifetime, on one occasion, it was the final Jummah just before Hajj. The final Jummah just before Hajj. He is sitting in the Haram. And the Imam of the Haram is imparting and delivering the Friday khutbah. And in the khutbah, the Imam of Makkatul Mukarrama said, that قال الشيخ أبو الحسن علي ندوي رحمه الله تعالى. That Sheikh Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi says this, and then he quoted him. So imagine what caliber of an alim he must be, that the Imam of Haram is quoting him during his own lifetime, and he's an Indian alim. You know, when does the Haram Imam ever quote an alim who's from the Indian subcontinent? And when he passed away in India, then because of his stature and his rank, this message reached the king of the time. If I can recall correctly, it was King Fahd at the time. That the janaza ghaibada, the absentia salatul janaza should take place. So according to the Shafi'i Hanbali school of thought, you can perform janaza salah of somebody who is not present there. So somebody has passed away in India, you can still perform janaza salah in Saudi also. According to Hanafis, we cannot do this. But they can do this. So they said that Sheikh Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi has passed away in India. He has passed away in India, but we should perform his janaza salah here in the Haramain, in Makkah Mukarrama, as well as Madinah Munawwara. This was his rank. But there were some people who didn't like him. With every person, he has his critics. They said, "No, an Indian scholar, and we'll perform his janaza salah in Saudi. We don't want this to happen." Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made all this happen. So it went back and forth. Shall we lead it? Shall we not lead? Shall we lead? Shall we not lead? It continued until it was the 27th night of Ramadan. And on that night, the glorious Quran was going to be completed in the Taraweeh Salah, both in Makkatul Mukarrama as well as in Madinah Munawwara. And Allah ta'ala placed the thought in King Fahd's mind at that time, that forget about this argument now, the janaza salah will take place and it'll take place tonight. So on that night of the month of Ramadan, when there was the biggest crowd and the largest crowd in both harams, the announcement was made that Sheikh Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi, who has passed away in India, his janaza salah is going to take place today. And all those that were in the haram in Makkah Mukarrama as well as Madinah Munawwara, they performed his janaza salah. So this was his rank. How did he reach this level? When his mother had that fikr and that concern, she would make dua for him. She would ensure that she nurtures him correctly and does his tarbiyah. So ta'aleem and tarbiyah, these are the two responsibilities of the parents. If we were to ensure that our child gains the correct knowledge of deen, and we nurture our child correctly upon the straight path, and we have these high aspirations and ambitions, that I want my son to do something from a deeni point of view, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely make this child shine. All those individuals, whether it's Imam Malik, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, study their biographies and you will find in many cases it was just the mother. Time has finished. Otherwise, so many incidents are coming to mind now. The mother, the way she brought up these people, it was because of the mother's concern, her du'as, and her effort in nurturing the child, that this child became a great alim, a great scholar, and till today we benefit from these people. So even as men, we have to do our duty also. And those who are not married, then for them the lesson is that you should, when you select a partner, one point to keep in mind is that will this woman be able to nurture my child or not when it comes to deen? And as parents, those who are parents now, this should be our concern. That how do I bring deen into my children? As far as the world is concerned, Allah Ta'ala is going to give the world. That's Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's responsibility. But if we don't work on our children, and we leave this world, and our children are not on deen, then in our grave, we are going to be worried, we are going to be concerned, and we are going to be regretful that what have I done? What have I left behind? And imagine on the day of Qiyamah, if Allah Ta'ala asks us that, what did you do? How did you bring deen into your children? Which is a question we are going to be asked. So we make dua to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that He gives us the ability to ensure that we teach our children the correct deen, we bring the knowledge of deen into their lives also, and we nurture them correctly also. We should ensure that we bring our children into these good environments, we make them sit in good company, and with love and affection, we bring the importance of deen into their lives. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all the ability. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل؟ ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل؟ وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. لإيلاف قريش إيلافهم رحلة الشتاء فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله